It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What does it tell you about the popularity of the Bears and quarterback Caleb Williams that NFL on Tuesday shifted the Week 8 schedule to move the team's October 27th road game at Washington from noon to 3:25? Or is it much about the Commanders and their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, the second pick of the draft, right behind Caleb Williams? Should the league have moved the game to Sunday night, or are you good with the earlier late afternoon game called by Jim Nance and Tony Romo?
Well, don't move it any later. That's fine. We can handle a 3:25 start, but with our schedule, I don't want to play on Sunday night. I'm delighted that they want to move it into prime time so they can get their number one crew and have some fun with it, but not put it in place of, is it Dallas? Dallas, I think, is playing that night. There's a division game, if I'm not mistaken. So whoever, leave that one there. I think it speaks to the popularity of the young quarterbacks. I think it's not just the Bears, but it is Caleb Williams going back to his hometown, and it is Jaden Daniels, who may be the rookie of the year. I don't know if that race is going to keep going. It was interesting to hear Caleb talk about a Cliff Kingsbury and him and Jaden. He knows both of them, and they're doing their thing together. I think this is going to be a really fun storyline, a great build-up. I think in a couple of weeks we're going to all be sort of lathered up and ready to go with this matchup and use it as sort of a measuring stick of sorts for where the Bears are at and how good Caleb Williams is and how his improvement is going and what they're doing with Jaden Daniels. It's going to be fun to sink our teeth into that a little bit. So I think that it makes a ton of sense to flex the game and get more eyes on it in the late afternoon segment. And I think it is a lot about the Bears and Caleb, but it's also about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels.
I think it's equal. I think it's great news for Bears bosses and fans. I'm also super thrilled it's not Sunday night. I'll raise my hand. Sunday night football for our lifestyle, for me anyway, is the worst. And that game kicks off at like 7:25. It's the absolute worst Sunday night football. Anyway, what's also interesting is the Chiefs Raiders are in that window. Also, they're in the, because I was curious, okay, well, the Chiefs, I mean, they play a primetime game, it seems like, every single week. And they're also in that 3:25 window, but they're not getting the number one team. And that probably has more to do about the Raiders, right? They've just traded Devontae Adams. So this is good news. This is going to be a test. Coming off the bye, the Guardians get the Panthers this week. So that should just be kind of a JV game, maybe. Or maybe not. We'll have to wait and see.
The Sunday night game that week is Cowboys 49ers. You're not bumping them. Those are two of the biggest fan bases and TV audiences you could hope for. That's a Sunday night bonanza. So you're not going to flex into that spot. And it makes sense. Moving them to the top spot on the CBS schedule makes perfect sense for a team that has started 4-2. They've got a rookie quarterback going home. Caleb Williams is a star already by NFL television standards because people want to see him grow and progress. And when you start the way the Bears have started, we talked about it, you win that game on Sunday in London, welcome back to NFL relevance. It's been a while in Chicago since you've been able to say that in mid-October, but here we are, and these are the kind of things that happen. And it's fun to remember what can happen when you have a season worth paying attention to and not just dreading and kind of counting down the Sundays until you get to the draft. This is NFL. This is a great NFL rivalry building between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. This is maybe Burrow Mahomes. You hope it is. You hope it's something that is going to be ongoing comparisons for years to come. RG3 and Andrew Luck. Well, you wonder which one, who is who. But Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, really, this is the story in Washington, D.C., is that they're talking this morning about how he has played this team into the same kind of position that Caleb Williams has steered the Bears into. So very similar situations, a great matchup. Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus. Dan Quinn was a finalist in the same job search that resulted in Matt Eberflus being hired. And so there are a lot of different ways we can look at this one. I'm just glad we're looking at it in the top spot on the CBS schedule.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He'll be with the guys at 7:25 this morning. How interested should the Bears be in the Hassan Reddick sweepstakes, especially in light of the report that the Jets would also have to send a second-round pick to the Eagles if Reddick is traded to an NFC team?
Not very. I think it was a productive and very entertaining thought exercise yesterday to go through it as it was happening, as we were sort of sifting through the rubble, if you will, of what's going on in New York with the Jets, and they were contemplating Davante Adams, and we got the report that Drew Rosenhaus had permission to seek a deal, and I'm sure that he is doing that. The caveat that you need to include the Jets sending a second-round pick to the Eagles if it's a trade to the NFC also likely disqualifies the Lions, which is the team that would be in the market for a pass rusher after the injury to Aiden Hutchinson. I don't think the Bears are that desperate for a pass rusher. I don't think they feel like, and I don't look at them as being one pass rusher away from being in the Super Bowl. Maybe you could make that argument, but I don't think this is the pass rusher to do that with. That's not the trade to make. It is interesting in the light of Amari Cooper being dealt out of Cleveland, in light of Davante Adams leaving the Raiders. You wonder if the Raiders are now shopping Max Crosby. You wonder if the Browns are now shopping Myles Garrett. Now, of those conversations, ones that Ryan Poles should be involved in as well, yes. You want to explore every possibility. Maybe there's a deal that you can strike. I don't think it's one you're going to make for Hassan Reddick, though, because of the price and because of the situation, and maybe because of the player. Not a problem in Philadelphia, but this is a guy that's had a historic holdout now. What's motivating him?
Well, it's not the Bears shouldn't be interested, but why in the world would the Jets be interested to move him anywhere with that part of the deal? I can't see the Jets trading him to an NFC team. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to lose that kind of draft capital. You've already lost draft capital in the trade for the wide receiver yesterday. So I don't think this is happening, but sure, the Bears could be interested. No problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, I think the problem is half the league can't really get involved in that deal. Yeah, it's a very interesting situation because you could argue that Hassan Reddick has ruined two teams. You know, the Jets would be so much better with him, and ditto Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philly had him for a couple of years. He was a monster there. What was the year they went to the Super Bowl, he had like 16 sacks or something.
Game wrecker.
And five forced fumbles six forced fumbles. I mean, he was an unbelievable game wrecker. And you know, he's still a relatively young guy, but he's bounced around the league for a reason. He's, you know, have rush, will travel. He is, you know, a guy that wants to make money and wants to get paid. And he's in a great situation with the Jets because they gave up a lot to get him, thinking he was going to turn their fortune, and now he's like, I want money, I want to get paid. And he's working on a contract already. He got paid. He's got time left on that deal, and he wants more money. And they thought they had reached a 1-year deal with him, and he said, nah, that's not enough. And so now they're at a point where they're just trying to get something out of it. And the fact that very wise of the Eagles to throw in a little poison pill. Oh, by the way, if you trade, I think they gave up a third round pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you trade him to the NFC, if he goes right back into,
you got
to
pay up.
You're going to give us, we already have your third. We'll take another second. I mean, that would cost them more than he did initially. It's a crazy thing to throw in. I don't think the Bears are in the market for him. I think we had fun talking about it. Would I love to see Hassan Reddick lining up for the Bears? Absolutely. You know, get the best players you can get, and don't let anything stop you. But realistically, that's not going to happen.
His agency fired him.
Well, his agency fired him. Drew is here now.
I know, but like.
Because he was dropped by his agency.
Think about that.
They came up with a deal and they went to him. Okay, we got it.
What does that say about the guy in your locker room?
And he said no.
A locker room that values culture is going to hire a guy dumped by his agency?
You know, I mean, listen. You know, Hassan Reddick was. He went to Temple, I think, and then. Remember, it was when John Fox was coaching the Senior Bowl. The guy shows up at the Senior Bowl and just, he went from being like just another guy that somehow got an invite to the Senior Bowl to one of the best players at the Senior Bowl. And that's kind of where he came out of nowhere, out of Temple, but that's where he made his move up the draft board.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
The voice of Jerry Jones. What's your take on the fact the Bears already have forced 7 fumbles this season and recovered 6 of them, matching their team total from 2023 season? Did you like hearing Tremaine Edmonds say that forcing fumbles has been a big emphasis for the defense? And can you tell, given the 13 takeaways they've managed already this season?
I think it's one of the real fun stories that's out there. I think that the Bears went to work on their defense and decided that they need to get the ball, and one of the ways they need to do it is with more forced fumbles. And you see it every, you know, you see guys are punching at the ball, they're going crazy with it, and it's working. And you know, as we talked about, the ball is oblong and it bounces funny, and the fact that they've been aggressive enough to jump on that many of them is pretty cool. 6 of 7, that's pretty good. They're doing a good job with takeaways, no doubt about it. Having 13 at this point is huge. It is a great path to victory. You win the takeaway battle, you're going to win a game. You win it lopsidedly, you're going to win big. So, you know, protecting the ball and going and getting it, that's great stuff. That's a big deal. You know, as we talked about with the peanut punch and with Lovey and kind of making that a priority, it does work. It does work when everyone's conscious about it and everybody. It adds to the mentality of sort of that kind of game defense where you're going after everybody and you're going after the ball and we're all going to tear at it and we're going to get it out. And I think given the quality of some of their secondary players in terms of the interceptions, it's just a wonderful thing to have, and it's why the Bears are moving up the board defensively.
Absolutely. You win the takeaway battle, you win games. It's really that simple. So this has been a fascinating and fantastic thing to see them accomplish so far this year.
Definitely is a coaching emphasis, but also a roster emphasis. When you look at, you go back to the first draft, and we had all kinds of controversy over the fact they took 2 safeties without taking a wide receiver. But you draft Jaquan Brisker, and you draft Kyler Gordon, and you get guys who are blank slates and in wide open in terms of you can shape these guys in terms of a mentality. And that's what you coach, but you got to get explosive type players. You draft those 2 guys, you go out and you sign Tremaine Edmonds, you trade for Montez Sweat, you draft Trevon Dexter, you add TJ Edwards, you draft Tyreek Stevenson. These are guys that are really explosive defensive players. They're not guys who are going to accept or absorb tackles. They're going to inflict them punishment, and they're going to tackle the football, and they're going to be guys who you have to have a certain type of mindset, and it requires a certain type of player. So yes, it is coaching, and you give Matt Eberflus and his staff a lot of credit for emphasizing that on a daily basis, but it all starts with the kind of guys you add to your roster, and it takes guys who are always going to be that kind of player, that kind of explosive defensive player, to make this a reality.
Go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
More from Jerry Jones. What new AFC East wide receiver will have the bigger impact? Amari Cooper with the Bills, Devontae Adams with the Jets, and which team got better?
Well, I think in terms of media coverage, it's certainly going to be Devontae Adams all over the back pages, and I'm sure that he will continue to be monitored on our daily Jets watch. Wherever you're getting your Jets news, WJETS. But I think that you could make the argument, and I would contend, the Bills got better. And Amari Cooper will have a bigger impact on the Bills and their ability to win the AFC East than Devontae Adams will on the Jets, who are unraveling in the same division. I look at Aaron Rodgers and I see a quarterback trying to cling to something that is no longer there. He is one of, you could look at his career. He is a top 10 all-time quarterback. Conservatively, some people might put him higher, some people may put him lower. Wherever you put him, he is an all-time great. But he is not that guy now. And so they're trying to recapture the glory they had in Green Bay for 7 or 8 years together. The chemistry will likely be there, but I just don't know if it's enough. The Jets' problems are all like a lot of teams' problems. It starts up front. They still can't protect Aaron Rodgers any better. Maybe he can get rid of the ball quicker. But I look at the Bills adding Amari Cooper to Josh Allen. He just replaced Stephon Diggs with an upgrade, maybe. Amari Cooper's a very reliable receiver. You don't hear as much from. I think he's got less diva in him, but more production.
Less diva, more production, David. That's an excellent way to put it, and that's why I agree with you that with this move, the Bills got a whole lot better. And maybe there's something to talk to Joe O about, but if we're talking about like the MVP of the NFL, like I think this increases Bills quarterback's chances. He's had a pretty good season without a whole lot of weapons. Like, they got rid of a diva and they've still been winning. They've still been winning without that diva wide receiver. And I think that's something that's interesting as well. So, yeah, I like the Bills' chances.
Yeah, I think the Bills are the better team right now. I don't know. Amari Cooper, they're hoping for the kind of bump he brought to Dallas back in 2018. He really kind of raised the level of Dak Prescott. I think that, you know, you forget that the Bills are going for like their fifth straight division title or something. They have dominated that division in large part because of the quarterback. So you end up trading a receiver in the offseason. I think they thought they were going to get more out of Keon Coleman, but this is a good move for them. I think it's actually kind of a sneaky good move. He's one of, you know, he's a 4 or 5-time Pro Bowler. He's one of these kind of receivers that can go to different organizations and make a big impact. You know, someone compared him, not physically or not play style, but just the numbers wise, to Anquan Boldin. And that's a hell of a pickup if you can get a guy like that that can come in and, you know, get 1,000 yards receiving out of habit.
Good comp.
Everywhere he goes.
Sturdy, reliable receiver.
That's what I'm saying. So you're bringing a guy like that into a place where the quarterback needs some help, and that is a really – I think, unfortunately, for Devontae Adams, he's being brought in to save the season, save the quarterback.
Save New York.
That's a much bigger and more difficult thing to do. But I think, sneaky way, Amari Cooper is going to do well with the Bills.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Voice of Billy Donovan. He'll have a lot to say later today. Are you looking forward to seeing Lonzo Ball debut with the Bulls tonight after missing 2.5 years with that left knee injury? Ball was talked about with the difficulty of sliding his feet on defense and battling over screens. What are you expecting and what will you be looking for?
Yeah, I think this is a very difficult position that he's being put in. I don't know what to expect. I know what I'm looking for. I want to see how he moves. I want to see if he's still an aggressive player. He was a good defender. And the idea that he's struggling to slide his feet and to get to battle over screens, that would tell you that he's no longer a good defender. So I think they keep talking about, you know, what a great IQ he has as a player, a great understanding of the game. So we're going to see a guy that is going to be outthinking people as opposed to out-athleticing them, out-physicaling them. It's a difficult thing to see. I'm fascinated. I'm going to be staring at the guy's left knee the whole damn game, sadly. I just am very curious to see how he gets through it and just how much rust there is. I think he hasn't played 2.5 years. And he's got, as he said, he's got like a totally different knee. So here's hoping. But I think we're going to see like a guy who used to be like a really great player who's now kind of, you know, a shadow of what he was. And he's going to be on a minutes limit. And you're going to have to look closely.
Curious to hear what that minutes limit is going to be. I agree there will be a minutes limit. And again, the coverage here on The Score, 6:45 tonight, Chuck and Bill will have it for you. So I'm going to listen. I'm going to watch. I'm in. I've given the Bulls maybe 5 minutes so far this preseason. They're getting my full attention tonight. Full attention. I look forward to the pregame. Look forward to hearing from Casey Johnson. Mm-hmm. I like Mully, get the Chicago Sports Network. Finally, my cable provider is up in front of
awesome.
Everything.
Usually, let's go, buddy.
Usually
let's go.
I'm always,
thank you for watching,
we're
Dustin.
Always in the dark.
Awesome.
And we're in the light. The stone has been rolled away. The light is shining on Mully and I for this one time on
so happy
television
for you guys.
Watching.
We're so happy.
That's awesome.
We talk about it. Just
you get like a special
happiness.
Feed, don't you, David? You get like you get like a special app.
I do.
As a member,
I do get the Chicago Sports Network.
As a paid person,
I'm looking forward to tonight. It's going to be a fun show beforehand on the Chicago lead. It's going to be a fun game. Look, it's been 1,000 days, more than 1,000 days since Lonzo Ball has been on the basketball court in a game. And so this is a emotional journey for him, the end of it. And it may be just the beginning, he hopes. It's a medical miracle or marvel. He had a meniscus transplant, okay? Think about what we're talking about here. And he's back on an NBA court. So a lot of people will be watching just for the spectacle that it will be and what it represents to him. I think when you hear things like he's difficulty sliding his feet on defense and batting over screens, it makes you think like you're watching a pickup game at the Y. A lot of guys have a hard time. Maybe that's the way he's going to play. He's going to be on the periphery. He's not going to be playing much defense. He's going to be getting the ball and finding the open man, maybe hitting the occasional three like the guy who's, you know, 40 years old still playing at the Y and can always hit the three. I don't know what to expect. Realistically, I'm not expecting much. Maybe 10 minutes tonight. I don't know how he fits into the rotation or if he does at all this season. But let him enjoy tonight. Let him enjoy the preseason. Little hope is never a bad thing. And you give credit to him for his perseverance, the Bulls doctors for what they put him, situation they put him in to be able to have this comeback and hope for the best. But I think that realistically, after tonight, I don't know what happens next. I think we'll just all have to stay tuned.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Nicky Lopez of the White Sox, a Gold Glove finalist at second base, but Nico Horner of the Cubs is not. With Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson recognized, does this make sense?
I don't know. I was so surprised. Nicky Lopez started 72 games at second base. Does that qualify you for a Gold Glove? 72 games. With due respect to the Naperville product, an all-around good guy, and yes, he was definitely a friend of the Score, but a Gold Glove finalist? Did you watch Nicky Lopez once this year and think that's a Gold Glove second baseman? He played shortstop for 45 games. He's a second baseman for 72. And then Nicky over Nico? I didn't think that was the case. Nico's pretty darn good playing defense at second base. I get Ian Happ. He'll probably win again. I get Dansby Swanson. Slow start, but you look at the metrics and he's probably going to win again. I hope that Nicky Lopez wins, but I think it would be amusing. I don't get it. I was very surprised and a little bit amused, and I wondered, and I saw the headline, what does Mully think?
Well, we'll get to Mully in just a second, but if I'm understanding it right, not to throw a wet blanket on this question overall, there are two separate awards here. This isn't It's a Gold Glover in the American League and a Gold Glover in the National
yes,
League.
Yes, but just...
Well, okay, but I mean, that does change it. Here's what stands out to me. National League, greater than American League. That's what it says to me. If Nicky Lopez can be a finalist for a defensive position in the American League, the National League is a better league overall, top to bottom, than the American League.
Fair enough.
That's my takeaway. Okay. But this is not a Nicky Lopez versus... Nico Horner debate. And Nico Horner might be in the American League next year for all we know.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to badmouth Nicky Lopez. He's the first player from Naperville Central to ever make the major leagues. And who am I to attack the fine people of Naperville like that? I mean, you feel free.
Did I attack the fine people
David,
of Naperville?
David has no problem doing so.
I did not do that.
For a guy like me, a Chicago-born and bred guy, I just can't do it.
Last time you drove through Naperville,
I think I have to go there today. At any rate, I you know, I got a lot of love for the fine people of Naperville, and you are not going to get me to denigrate one of our beloved Sox players.
Is this a deserving designation? A Gold Glove finalist.
He's a finalist. They didn't name him a Gold Glove winner. And it's not about, and not everything is about Nico. And are they going to trade Nico? And where is Nico? And where, who the hell is
Nicky Lopez, one of the three best defensive second basemen in the American League.
That is apparently what has happened when he's played there. His defense has been so spectacular. Born and bred in Naperville. Played for Italy, I believe.
Okay, I no longer wonder what you think of this. Now I'm done.
You're not reeling me in.
I know. I'm trying to, you know.
Well, I know what you were looking for.
I tried.
All right, we got the extra point next. Smalley and Hans.